Now, continuing, nihilism brings violence. It's not benign. It's sin. It's life apart from God, and it can only reproduce its own self, which is dark, empty emptiness that hates the light. Regardless of the methodology, idolatry, religiosity, philosophy, pseudosciences, man defining his existence produces only violence, lies, and death. Romans 3:10 through 18 details this exquisitely by quoting out of the Old Testament. There is none who seek after God. There is none who understands. No, not one. Their feet run to death. They shed blood. The poison of asp is under their lips. Exquisite writing. Man, a living apart from God, is anti-God. Because as sinners, we're all anti-God. The worship of Lucifer as God, walking in his sinful ways. So, regardless of what you think you're doing, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. That's fine. You can be an atheist. Let me pat you on the head, send you down the street, serene in the knowledge of how ignorant you are, because you're actually worshiping demons. Because you're not worshiping God, you're in fact following Satan. Now, he's not a God. But he is the face behind everything that is anti-God. Because when man turned from God to nothingness, well, that is what occurred out in the world. But a point of fact, it all comes down to rejection of God, worship of Satan. There's no in between. There's no third option. There's no, well, I'm not righteous and I'm not unrighteous. We don't have a word for it because it doesn't exist. When you start talking like that, you're babbling. Blah, 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 blah. So why is God angry? Well, God taught his people truth by his word and his miracles in the Old Testament time and time and time again. But his people persisted in rejecting him for death. His people resisted his correction by the prophets whom they killed, and even by the exile. The false Jews are consumed by the sinners they follow. And this will be true in the future time also. And I would point you to Revelation 17 and 18. Babylon the whore is nothing more than the false Jews that should have been following God, but were not. They were in opposition to God. The true Jews are the ones he loves, are chastened by him to turn them from the darkness of nihilism back to life to him. And that is true of Christians too. When God brings adversity into your life and drives you to the point of despair, and all you can do is just sink down and sigh in defeat. Now you're ready to listen to God. Because the flesh will listen to nothing else. And we said before, these people have no shepherd. The false Jews chose to find guidance apart from God via the teraphim and the diviners. You know, the families were teaching the children to reject God, teaching the children to ignore God, so you don't have to actively reject God. You can just ignore God. You can just pretend that he doesn't exist. You can just live in complete ignorance that there is a God, but it's still anti-God. And the diviners are people who are advancing themselves at the expense of those who reject or are ignorant of God's word. Thus, as the Old Testament closes, the false Jews thought it evil to serve God in the temple. A generation after Zechariah, the people were disgusted with the temple. They were tired of it. God doesn't care. Nothing's changed. Evil people are expanding and ruling us, and who cares? God's not real. God doesn't exist. God doesn't care. I have to do it myself. Well, the true Jews were to be written in God's book of remembrance, which we call the book of life, to be recalled into his kingdom at that day. The Jews chose nihilism over life. Those who should have been Jews, Judah's true shepherds, defined their own existence. Existentialism, which leads to nihilism and its darkness. The people were willing to follow anyone for fleshly gain. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? They wanted to seize Christ and make him king because he could make bread and they didn't have to work no more. I mean, this is hand out heaven right here. You don't need a government. You don't need this. You just need this guy making bread every day. Bread, make food. He can make anything. That was their. That was all they cared about. They didn't care about God. They didn't care about righteousness. They didn't care about their future with God. They didn't think anything beyond today. Maybe tomorrow. Eternity future? Never crossed their mind. And the leaders, well, they killed their prophet, John the Baptist. They knew of him. The one who was to come in the spirit of Elijah. They knew about the Yeshua. And when Christ, Yeshua, came to be the shepherd, the false Jews killed him. Wanting darkness, the nihilism over the light, the actively rejected the light, they rejected his works, and they walked in the darkness. They wanted the darkness. And of course, this led to the Jewish diaspora that continues today. Well, with Titus in AD 70 and again in 133, the Jews were totally dispersed and remain dispersed today. The Jews that are in the land today are Zionists. Those are false Jews. Those are not the ones that God recalled. Are the true Jews mixed in with the lot? Yes, there are. There are people being saved there even today, though it's still illegal to truly preach the gospel there. I understand. But Jews are being saved, but they're not Jews then. They're Christians. It's not a messianic Jew. There's not a third category. There's not saved, lost, and Jewish in between something or other. Even Paul recognized he was born out of time, that he was a Christian. If there was a third category, he would have said it. We are a special group, saved but not Gentile. Thus, all Jews who are saved will then be in this special category. Never. He never said that. Thus, that third category does not exist. We killed God. We killed the basis of our morality. That's really the thrust of Nietzsche's most famous line. And it was written to atheists who did not even know that God was dead. They had not reordered their society. They were still living in the flawed world of religiosity. See, Nietzsche despised religion, empty Christendom. And indeed, he should have, because the Germans led the world in destroying the Bible, the veracity and truth of the Bible. The Bible provided Western man with the basis for his morality. Rational man, however, sought to redefine morality empirically. Nietzsche saw this as a long, difficult process, and it was during the 20th century. And he lapsed into darkness himself, as has Western culture. He lapsed into this dementia, coma, eventually becoming nonverbal, and that was the last few years of his life till he died in 1900. But notice the problem here. As we talked about in Job, Empiricism is how God communicates the very idea that he exists, that there is a God to mankind. Psalm 19. For the heavens declare the glory of God. Romans 1, 18 through what? 20, 21. For that which may be known of God, they know it, but they've rejected it. How do they know it? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. Nature declares the glory of God. Philosophers, after the Renaissance or Reformation period, were really eclectic. They were not just philosophers. They were philosophers, mathematics, engineers, scientists. They did it all. They were looking for a way to find absolute truth, both through nature and apart from nature, both through empiricism and through non-empirical means. Thus, philosophy was born. It wasn't until the 19th century that the two split off, that philosophy became philosophy, severed distinct from science, which was philosophy that was natural philosophy. But rational man wanted to define morality empirically. Well, how can you do that? How can you redefine morality, which, first of all, is not empirical, when you've taken the empirical evidence of the existence of God and turned it into something else? So the very modality for knowing God, empiricism, was used by rational man to reject God. There is only nihilism left. There is only darkness. So the German textual criticism is how the Germans gutted the Bible. Not a part of the 19th and into the early 20th centuries, the German textual criticism, which is terrible and has since been just proven to be almost totally false, tried to destroy the veracity of the scriptures. However, in its day, Christendom latched onto this and rejected the gospel for nihilistic philosophies and pseudosciences, and eventually evangelicals followed, so that today the pseudoscience psychology is raging like a wildfire through them, gutting them of the gospel and of the truth of God. Postmodernism grew out of the marriage of existentialism and nihilism, rejecting biblical morality, the basis for Western culture. Now, this should not come as a surprise to anyone that when you base your culture on whatever you want it to right and wrong to be, which is what existentialism is, you're going to end up with nihilism. You're going to end up with postmodernism. So you have cultural confusion, you have emptiness, and you have violence. And 20th century is the most violent century in the recorded history of mankind. And the 21st century is certainly following the same path. Now, what most people understand is fundamentalism today grew out of this opposition to religious dramatic liberalism. The fundamentalists of the late 19th, early 20th century were learned. They were not a single religion or denomination, but believers from various different denominations coming together to oppose this dramatic textual criticism. And they published a set of works called the Fundamentals. However, they tended to die out after the 1920s or during the 1920s, and then during the Great Depression, what happened was you had a populist fundamental evangelical movement grow up in the Baptistic, Armenian Baptistic tradition that co-opted the name fundamentalism. But it was founded on legalism rather than scholarship. Now today they're trying to grow away from that, but they still retain many of the basic tenets of populism. And thus they struggle with some of the more basic aspects of Scripture because of that. Now, Christendom's false teachers. America has been a hotbed for cults and false teachers almost since our inception. Joseph Smith, Mary Baker Eddy, whatever, the Pentecostal movement, the health and welfare and so on movement, these all started in America. And they've gone globally, and they've just gutted Christendom. And these false teachers, they just feed off of ignorance. They just feed off this nihilism. As the world becomes more nihilistic, these people come forward as diviners and offer false guidance. And people embrace it. It's like holding fire to the bosom. And it's evidenced by the confusion and the emptiness and even the excesses they acquire for themselves from those who have come to them for guidance. Because you kind of have to pay for it. They cavort during the daylight, doing things that were only done under darkness. There's no shame. There's no fear of God before them. And reduce themselves to an animalistic existence. But that is what modern Western culture has become, an animalistic existence. If it feels good, do it. You want to copulate on the beach? You copulate on the beach. You want to walk nude? You walk nude. You walk around not understanding the reverence of God, the reverence of what God has made you into, and what you are doing to destroy that image of God. And existentialism justifies it. But it cannot change the result of nihilism. That is always the result of it. Is that you will have this confusion. You will have this darkness. You cannot get away from it. The only way that you can get away from nihilism is to reject existentialism via salvation. Not the social gospel salvation. Not the, let me whip out the prayer, the fire insurance prayer, so I can do whatever I want and then ask God for forgiveness, because he's promised to always bless and forgive me for everything I've ever done, and all I have to do is ask forgiveness. That's not really a good understanding of what that means and what that says. So, Christians, are we any better? Do we not also follow false divinations and household traditions just as the ancient Jews? We think we're better, but we're not. We have all these sayings like, God spoke to my heart. What does that even mean, God spoke to your heart? Did you hear a voice? What do you mean, God spoke to you? God opened the door, or he shut a door. Whoa. How do you know? Cannot Satan arrange circumstances also? How do you know it's God? I didn't get hurt. Yeah, but how do you know it was God? Or God punished so-and-so for sin? Well, how do we even know that? What if Satan just said, I don't need this guy anymore? Which he does quite often. Satan's not loyal to anybody but Satan. You ever look at the lives of the artists, such as the painters and the composers and even the musicians of the mid-late 20th century, and look at their lives? Gosh, it's a mess. And people fawn to become like these people, and yet their lives turned a mess also. It's just terrible. This shallow religiosity borders on blasphemy, as we do not have direct knowledge of what spiritual forces are at work at what time. All we have is the Word of God, and that is what we should be using and going by. The times will never be a-changing, if I can misquote Bob Dylan. The times are no worse today than they have been at any other time of man. We have the nuclear weapons, so on. So we just do it on a larger scale. We're going to wipe out man from the face of the earth. No, we're not. Can't happen. The Bible tells us that's not going to happen that way. The environment's going to turn bad and destroy all of us. Not going to happen. No, it's going to turn bad. But not because of what man's doing, but because of what God will do. as he reshapes the earth back to its original form and condition over a 7-year period before the eyes of men, so that they will not doubt any longer that God does exist, and there'll be strong empirical evidence before their face that God is doing this, because they will say, rocks fall on us, hide us from the face of God. They know God is at work. So the times aren't any worse. Western culture had a brief respite because of the Reformation, but it was very brief, because those religions that grew out of the Reformation very quickly became co-opted by nation states and turned around and started persecuting those who had clung to the true gospel. And now they've become nothing today. And so Western culture continues to mark John into nihilism, the darkness, the emptiness, the shapeless void of tomorrow, because that's all there is in sin. We are no different than Islamic Muslims who do the same thing, or the Jews who do the same thing, or the pagans who do the same thing, or the atheists who do the same things, or any other ism you want to trot out there. We all do the same thing, and the only one who is different is the one who is saved in the true gospel. They do have the true gospel. That's really the question before you. It's not about going to church. It's not about being baptized. It's not about saying the right prayer. It's not about having the right experience. It's not about any of that. It is about, do you have the true gospel? Is your life constantly changing and conforming to the image of Christ in the scriptures? Because the Bible is all we have. It's not, I think God's at work. It's not, God did this. It's not, a demon did that. It's none of that. It's, the Bible is the standard. The Bible is what we have. I am at peace when I am coherent and congruent with the Bible. I am not at peace when I am not congruent and coherent with the Bible, because then I am in sin. And I know that then that I'm acting anti-God. Because man's original condition was a sin. And man's, as we're born, our original condition is sin. So there's only life or there's nihilism. So basically, we are saved in spite of our sinfulness due to his faithfulness and his righteousness. That's why nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's not because we're faithful. It's not because we're better. It's nothing we do. Because we sin and fail every day, 1 John. If we say we have no sin, we call him a liar. So the Christian who finds nihilism as evidenced by guilt has rejected the fruits of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, patience, and so on. And that's how you know when you're not walking with God. You're not evidencing the love of God. You're finding fault with everyone. There is no joy. Even in adversity, there is no patience. There is no self-control. There is none of this. There is only continued anger and violence, and wanting to project that violence and anger onto everyone around you, till you've annihilated every last sinner that stands before you. But that is not how Christ taught us. And that is not what Christ does. Although there will come a time when he returns, but he will take the action, because only he can take the right action. nihilism. It's the darkness that we live in because of sin. Now, we can't do much about the culture, but we can do about ourselves and about our family. That is why we are to be the lights set before men on the hill to guide them through the darkness to those who want to find the light. Let us be that true light before men. Thank you.